All right, good morning. Welcome to episode 2 of the Power League and Friends.
And Friends.
Still currently here on episode 2, just the Power League, but we promise one of these days to have some friends here with us. How you guys doing? Good morning.
Good morning.
How was your Memorial Day?
It's a little early for me.
Memorial Day was a little early for you?
Yeah.
You prefer it in a little earlier May?
Earlier May, like last Friday, but maybe the 3rd.
Okay.
It's kind of like Easter, you don't know. It could be in March or April, but Memorial Day is always the same.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It could be earlier.
It is early for us. Last time we recorded, we did evening, like 11 p.m. Today we've switched to 7 a.m., which is about as early as San Diego people ever get up. Is that true? The Midwest has been farming for like 4 hours at this point.
Days half done.
On West Coast time.
Yeah, days over.
Yeah. I'm sorry, I wanted to celebrate some silence there. How was you guys' Memorial Day weekend?
It was good. It was long. Took a 4-day.
Yeah, what'd you do? We'll talk, well, Peter, we'll come to your super exciting weekend.
Peter had a great weekend.
Well, let's...
Guy's busy.
How was your Memorial Day weekend, John?
It was good. It was low-key. Did some fun stuff. Did a kettlebell class. Legs were sore. That was it. My wife worked on Monday on Memorial Day, so she could have this Friday off.
Okay.
But I didn't.
She got some big plans this Friday, then?
Her birthday. She's going to be 30 for the rest of her life. She's going to be 31, so I bought her a car that says Happy 30th.
Oh, that's
nice. Going to play on that for the next 10 years.
You bought her an actual car?
Yeah, and gifts. I want to say too much in case she listens to the podcast before Saturday.
Yeah,
you bought that same car like 10 times. So you can just...
Yeah, I'm going to play it off. Actually, my sister's turning 35 on Sunday as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I got her a 70 card, and it says you're halfway there, babe.
Oh, you see, you said card. I definitely heard you say car there.
Yeah.
I was like, John Lowther, you are prospering.
I'm not in the business of buying people.
I thought it was going to be like the Lexus Christmas commercials. You wrap the giant bow around it, the whole shindig.
Maybe like a Ford Taurus.
But
like
a nice.
A Lexus.
Yeah. a used Ford Taurus.
A used, yeah.
Yeah, not in the 2000s.
06.
06, that's
7 years old.
Yeah, that's true.
That was it, low-key. How about you?
Let's see, I was on dad duty for a good chunk of it. My wife was in Colorado with some of her family doing some family stuff. And so I did Friday, Saturday with the Ninos, which was adventurous.
Why don't you tell everybody how old these Ninos are?
Yes, I have a 6-year-old son named Joel and a 3-year-old daughter named Gloria. And it took, I kid you not, it took less than an hour before I had Googled how do you get pen ink off the wall.
Before mom comes
in. Yeah, artisan.
Yeah, like, and the amazing thing is we've had kids for 6 years now and I have never seen either of them color on the wall. I've never seen pen marker on anything on the wall.
When
mom is gone,
kids play.
An hour. And I was introduced to the magic eraser. Are you guys familiar?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
It's truly magic.
We have a stash under the kitchen.
It doesn't make sense. I'm thinking that...
No, it's magic.
I would have gotten significantly less whoopings as a child if the magic eraser was a thing. Because with the magic eraser, it's not really that big of an offense.
No, you can erase life's problems with it. It's amazing. And it's odorless.
Magic eraser... You just rub it on your credit card bill.
It's pretty, I mean, it'll go away. It'll rub ink off.
So, yeah, Gloria, the 3-year-old, you know, went into the fridge and tried to pour her own milk. I mean, it was just everything. It was everything that kids...
Was this the longest for you?
I don't know. Yeah. We've done, I think, a similar time frame before. I'm not, like, the total amateur dad. That
right.
I'm, you know, like, I know how to take care of them. But they don't... Like, they survive while I'm there. They don't thrive.
They're survivors.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Yeah, they turn into, like, hunters and gatherers. Yeah. No one... They're not nurtured in any way, but it's like, we get our meals.
Well, he's spending so much time cleaning up that he can't give them
it's
attention.
It's true, yeah, yeah.
He didn't make a decision.
I mean, I was raised by a single dad, so I think I just go into single dad mode. I'm like, well, it's cereal. And mom made one meal before she left, and that's the weekend meal.
We have it one time and then use it as a leftover.
Yeah, just portion it out.
Yeah,
so
rations.
So we had fun with that, and then I had a couple shows. I did this really cool coffee shop, Twigs Coffee Shop in University Heights. You guys ever been to Twigs?
I want to say I have.
I'm gonna do a, Twigs would never appreciate this, but I'm gonna reference it in.
Twigs, turn it off right now.
I'm gonna let you know where it is in reference to another coffee shop. So you know the two Lestats. It's right next to the one Lestats on Park. So
okay.
I did a show there with Lisa Padacci. She was the headliner and I featured. She was hilarious, really, really funny. And then I did the Comedy Store on Sunday night. I was in the Best of San Diego showcase then. So that was fun. That was there was like 40 comedians that night. But
oh, wow.
Yeah, but there were some funny drop-ins. Billy Bunnell was there. And so did some shows, had some fun. I had a friend going off. He's about to head to Virginia for 4 months. He's in the Navy. He's about to head to Virginia for 4 months for school, and then head back on a boat. So did a lot of kind of cool, fun stuff. I wanted to briefly talk about this.
Good dad stuff.
Yeah. We took him to. We got some drive through Mexican.
Spend any time with his kids.
I just mainly cleaned up after them. This was all post.
Okay.
That was not clear, was it?
No. Doing comedy shows at night.
No.
Cleaning up after his kids.
Once Melissa got back.
Okay.
I did a couple of comedy shows. But when the kids were here, we pretty much just went to McDonald's and played in the backyard, as you do. I wanted to real brief as an aside here. I went to this party on Saturday. We did some games. We played some backyard baseball. I had to brush up on my Ghost Runner rules.
Oh.
I forgot about Ghost Runner.
I always hated how fast he was.
Ghost Runner, you can't really get out.
No.
I mean, it's hard.
He advances on any contact. It's just like
he wins all pickles.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ghost Runner, he's a pain like that.
Smooth, you know, in pitcher's hand.
But we played a game in the backyard called. It was like a homemade game called like Washers. You guys played this? It's a box.
It's very Midwest.
Yeah, you stand on the box. There's three different holes. You throw these little washers into here, and it's funny. It's very Midwest. But can we agree that most of all these backyard games are the same game?
Well,
with slight verification.
Oh yeah, it's all of them are created so that you can have a drink of choice in your other hand.
And throw underhand.
Yes.
They're all
there's beanbag toss, there's horseshoes.
Also called cornhole.
Cornhole.
Right? Horseshoes.
Yeah, there's also, I don't know if you guys have seen the golf, two golf balls on a roll.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I've heard that called ladder golf.
My family
also calls it hillbilly golf.
Testicle toss.
Yeah, that one.
Oh
there's,
man.
Yeah, it's got a ton of names. But yeah, it's all the same game. It's just, again, something in your left hand if you're right-handed.
Yeah.
You know.
It's funny that people keep coming up with a new one. I'm putting new in quotes
these
there.
These are huge at tailgates.
Sure.
I mean, you can travel with these.
You guys love made-up games, though.
Oh, I do.
I think you made up some of your own.
I've made up a lot of games. I'm working on at least a Wikipedia entry and then trademarking a game called Ultimate Soccer. Have you played Ultimate Soccer yet?
I have not.
Where you can't run when you have possession? Is that...
It's pretty much ultimate frisbee, though you can run when you have possession, so that's a little different.
Right.
And you use a smaller soccer ball, you know, like the little handballs.
Okay.
And so you travel kind of like ultimate frisbee, but you can run. You have to throw your teammates, and you have goals set up. But in order to score, you have to score a soccer style goal off of an assist. So your friend, your teammate, or your friend,
you know,
throws it to you, and in air you have to head it in, or kick it, or knee. You can't throw it in the goal. You have to have.
Can you catch it and drop kick it?
You can't give an assist to yourself. It has to come off of somebody else's hand. Throw.
So you can throw it the whole game unless you're going to try to score.
Exactly.
Okay.
It's a ton of fun. So yes, I do love it.
But there is no copyright on this.
Let's do it.
There's no copyright, so.
Not yet.
Did we just invite? What, 1,000 of our listeners?
At least 1,000.
Okay.
I mean, episode 1 so far, we put up yesterday, said 27 listens.
Okay.
And at least 22 of them were me.
And growing exponentially.
Yeah, I've actually just had it on a loop.
Oh, that was you.
Yeah, that counts.
25 times.
Yeah. so it's good. Oh, do you guys have a preferred backyard game, though? Do you have one that you're way better at than the others?
I really like the, I don't know which. What did you call it? Ladder toss?
Ladder golf. Or ladder
golf.
Yeah, that's yours.
We call it, we used to, horse balls was the name I was
The real theme there in how you name them, yeah.
But,
catching that. Subtle.
That was always our favorite.
Okay. Peter?
No?
Have you played many of these?
Not many.
No.
Not many. Maybe
Peter has
shoes?
A frightful look on his face right now.
Oh, no. What, It is funny that you mentioned that they're big in the Midwest, because we play, I usually am playing with two friends, Josh and Jeremiah Moffitt, also known as Jeremy Moffitt, and they're from Iowa, and they're unbeatable in these. It doesn't even matter.
He
game.
Can't touch us.
He, like Josh, had never played washers and just destroyed us. Their balance and their aim throwing something underhand with their dominant hand is unbelievable. I guess they just train them up.
That's how we're raised back in the Midwest.
Yeah.
Of corn.
Peter had an exciting weekend.
I did. I took a 4-day weekend.
Yep. And you went to pretty much where you live on the weekends.
Yes. Every weekend I'm up
in Orange or LA County.
Definitely.
Yeah.
You guys want to hear chronologically how my weekend went?
John and I know, and so let's take some of your activities and then make them some of our topics. First, you went to Disneyland. That wasn't the first thing you did, but Saturday you went to Disneyland.
Disneyland?
How was Disneyland?
It was good. I hadn't been there since 1997.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Basically, like, when I moved to San Diego, just, like, Disneyland was, like, meh. No
so, you're, wait a minute, your timeline is you started off in Orange County,
mm-hmm.
which...
I moved here in 95.
I call the OC at times, and nobody calls the OC in Orange County.
That's forever Nick's OC in these podcasts.
Okay, we...
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
What if we're referring to the show, the OC?
Definitely.
Which would come up at least every other episode, I would think.
When I was a kid, and we were in Ohio, we used to go to the Atlantic Ocean for vacation, but we went to Ocean City, Maryland, and we called that the OC.
Yeah. That didn't have a hit show in the 90s.
No. And it's also closed. It's also closed about 8 months out of the year because of the weather.
Yeah. So. Sounds like a pretty dreamy
June to August. If you didn't get in there, it wasn't... Yeah.
So you started off OC.
Started off with me.
Not the OC.
Yeah.
It's like the Ohio State.
I started off watching OC about... 3 or 4 years. No. Disneyland. Brief thoughts on Disneyland. Since I hadn't been there in 97, I forgot.
Hold on, you gotta finish the timeline. You went Orange County and then San Diego. When? How old were you?
I was 10.
You were 10.
So I did a lot of Disneyland when I was younger, but when I moved here, I think we went back once in 97 and never went back.
Wow. When you're a kid, do people buy like season passes at Disneyland and just hang out there? Or is it one a year? Or how often
do you go? It's like maybe like once a year or a birthday.
But was that
stuff
as popular when you were a kid, like the season passes?
No,
and stuff
I don't
like
think
that.
The season pass thing was really popular.
Well, yeah, now in San Diego, like we have SeaWorld passes.
Yeah.
And it's the same price essentially as you go once, and you can get a season's pass.
When I moved here, we did the SeaWorld pass. I had the SeaWorld pass for like 7-8 years.
Yeah.
But now going back in Disneyland, I'm like.
What do you say? It's been 16 years.
Yeah, it's been forever.
Wow.
And what's funny, though, is when I went in 97, I was with my parents and stuff.
Yeah.
I missed a lot of stuff that they're just like, let's gloss over that. We don't want to do that.
You can't see that high.
I'm like, really? I thought I'd went on the real Haunted Mansion ride.
Mm-mm.
I guess I never actually experienced the Haunted Mansion. There was actually a ride there. I thought it was just the Haunted Mansion and you go in there and see some stuff.
Your dad just threw you in the back of a weird guy's van for 5 minutes.
But have you guys been recently or?
I have. I was there probably a year and a half ago.
I think I went in 2003.
Did you guys get to do the California Adventure?
I've done California Adventure.
What did you think of that?
Is that the other part?
Yeah.
You haven't. Well, I want John. I have some real strong Disneyland opinions.
I do too.
Yeah, I actually think it's the most overrated place on earth. I think it's wicked expensive. I think it's way, way too expensive. And as an adult, it's mildly entertaining. I think that like the production value is nice, the customer service, all that. Like, and some of the exhibits are amazing. Like. Even when you go into some of the areas, like just how they've made it, the actual creations and the physical things that they have are amazing. But the rides are lame for the most part. I mean,
the rides are not like adrenaline rides.
No.
You know?
Well, if you don't want adrenaline, what do you want out of your ride
an
adult?
It's just like a. Yeah,
are you singing along? It's a Small World?
Definitely. The whole.
Oh, yeah. That's the first verse.
Yeah. The different languages and everything.
Yeah.
No, but Disney that was fun. I didn't have any qualms with it. I mean, it is a little pricey and stuff.
But you seem to have a good time, though. Yeah, I mean, I think we might have just kind of killed your buzz a little bit there. You were pretty excited.
It was fun.
Is it more of a nostalgia thing? Because you remember it as a child?
And there was a lot of things I was like, oh, wow, I haven't seen that carousel in like 20 years.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool.
I think that's what Disneyland is it's sentiment. I think people go back and they're like, oh, man, Disneyland, this is some of my best memories. Oh, let's go and do this lame Peter Pan ride, you know, because it was fun when I was a kid, and it's enough. Now, I think that Space Mountain's a good ride.
Mountain's good.
Yeah.
Star Tours is fun. My favorite ride is Pirates.
I think that there's some random things, like old Disney. Like, I think the Jungle Cruise is fantastic. I've said this before, my goal as a comedian is to be famous enough that I can be an old retired comedian and walk into the Disneyland anytime I want and say, hey, I'm running the Jungle Cruise today.
The funniest guy
at
Disneyland.
Do people do that?
I don't know, but but we can agree that if Seinfeld showed up, right, or Jim Gaffigan showed up to Disneyland and said, hey, I'm running the Jungle Cruise, and they'd probably let him, right?
Probably.
This is a goal. Maybe I can just be funny enough for that to be my retirement job. I don't know. I would rather just do it.
Maybe you could
work
your way up to this, because the guy in the little, like, storebook miniature cruise was straight-up comedian the whole way. Like, just commenting on all these little houses, and, like, I was laughing the whole way. It was amazing.
There's an old Weird Al song/video of this great aspiring thespian who, you know, got these great reviews, and all these different plays and stuff, but now he's just working the Jungle Cruise, because that's really what it is. I do have some strong, I think that it's, the lines are so long, and it's so crowded, and it's pretty expensive, that I think Melissa and I, my wife and I have had this conversation, when you're ranking the Southern California parks, it's pretty low.
Who would you rank the California theme park experience?
It depends if it's kids or no kids. Because if it's no kids, then it's Six Flags and Knott's Berry.
What, Six Flags? Magic Mountain?
Magic Mountain, yeah. Because those are just the best roller coasters, you know. And then if it's kids, then, you know, Legoland's pretty high up for my family. Legoland's a lot of fun. And there's
close.
Yeah, it's closer.
Cheaper.
And then, Knott's Berry is pretty high up because they have Camp Snoopy. By the way, if you haven't been to Southern California, each Southern California theme park has to choose their themed cartoon. Have you guys caught this?
Well, Six Flags is owned by Warner Brothers.
Yeah, so they have
all the Looney Tunes.
And Disneyland has Disney, obviously. Mm-hmm. You guys know SeaWorld?
It's just like the Shamu characters.
No, it's actually Sesame Street.
Whoa.
If you go into the mid area, it's all Elmo rides and Big Bird's walking around.
Huh.
Yeah.
I did not know that. I'm not...
Well, you don't spend a lot of time in the kids area of...
Oh, no, I'm not... I actually made I'm going to get a little crazy liberal on you guys. I made a promise to my friend who's a marine biologist that I would not go to SeaWorld.
Really?
Yeah. Wow.
Oh, man.
Because he's against the dolphins being in captivity.
That is probably too serious a topic for this podcast.
No, that's fine. I understand. So, yeah, I haven't
an informed opinion on that. SeaWorld, I will tell you, sure makes it seem like they're doing some great work, though. Because their whole one... And I think they are.
On the surface, I think SeaWorld's fine. I've never
on
really
the
searched
surface.
It out.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, on the surface.
And underwater.
The dolphins are out of the water. They look happy. I mean, the other thing, too, is I've lived here for... I forget. 08, so 5 years now. So I haven't frequented these parks, and I don't have kids like that I would just take them to there.
Mm-hmm.
So,
take your lady on a date to Magic Mountain or Knott's Berry.
Her family was right there, but we went to Disneyland, and she was like the whole day just so happy to be there. And we're 30 years old, and she was just like, you know, I'm sitting there like, this ride was boring.
Mm-hmm.
Why is Johnny Depp in the Pirates of the Caribbean ride? Because I thought that ride was awesome, and then I was like, why is Johnny Depp everywhere?
Yeah.
Like, that was a lame ad for me.
Mm-hmm.
But I really liked Indiana Jones.
Indiana Jones is great.
Don't like that ride.
Really? I was loving that one. I was like, I think it was the music.
Yeah.
The
I actually enjoyed waiting in line more than the ride.
It is a fun line experience.
Yeah.
They do a good job with that. I mean, as far as waiting in a line goes.
So let's get back to SeaWorld.
They have Elmo. And then Knott's Berry has the all the Snoopy, Charlie Brown characters, which is pretty fun. Where do you guys throw, to me, the big wild card in all of this is Universal Studios.
Oh, I totally forgot about Universal Studios.
Have you done Universal Studios?
I haven't done Universal Studios in probably 5 years.
I'm eager to go.
I've done it twice.
Yeah.
You have been there?
Really enjoyed it.
I have gone, but I haven't gone since they've added Transformers, which is supposed to be really fun. And then I think they probably added a couple other ones.
Definitely since I've been
there. I can take care of us if you guys want to go.
Yeah, you got that?
Yeah.
My father-in-law works there.
Really?
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So, and I haven't been there. He invites us all the time.
If you like movies and stuff, like we all do, it's definitely a must-see for Southern California because you can see all those sets. And
all I remember is that there's a scene in the movie The Wizard with Fred Savage where they're at Universal Studios.
Nice pull right there.
And they run, because they have to run past the King Kong.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. You know what's oddly the most memorable thing? I went to Universal Studios probably about 10 years ago. The ride that I remember the most, or the exhibit, the show, is Waterworld.
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 What's funny is I've seen that, but I've never actually seen the movie.
Your memory of Waterworld, because you've only seen the ride, is great. It's as high as
anybody
else.
I just heard this big plane flying out into the audience, and I was like,
"Oh man, Waterworld." We'll save Kevin Costner for another day.
Yeah.
Kevin Costner.
Well, I mean, I could spend a lot of time on Kevin Costner's sports movies.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
that's Darmstein Cup, come on.
I feel like we need to have another episode ranking the top five sports movies.
Top five? That'll be difficult. There's a lot of good ones.
It'll be difficult, but I think we can do it.
All right. So,
does Karate Kid count? Does that count as a sports movie?
I mean, it's difficult.
It does, but...
Do we want to... Because you have to go, you know, do we want to say drama, comedy? Like, are we going to say, you know, semi-pro, is that a sports movie?
I don't know. Like, whenever I hear sports movie, I just think, baseball.
You're the best.
I'm sorry.
Oh, Brad.
Somebody is a Ralph Macchio wannabe.
Aren't we all?
Yes.
No? So that was your Saturday.
That was my Saturday.
Wow.
So let's get back to SeaWorld, which was Friday.
Oh,
why were you at SeaWorld?
Why was I at SeaWorld?
That's the big question.
I did a lot of dolphin watching and about 12 hours. No, anyways, me and Shannon, my coworker, we went there to see some behind the scenes stuff of Anchorman 2. We were actually
You guys were extras.
We were extras,
which is cool.
So we did some thrift store shopping during the week and got the whole 70s garb. Showed up at
just
like
listening to Macklemore over and over.
Yeah, I was doing that to the headphones. Got there like 6:30 in the morning. Everyone was all decked out and, you know, the whole 1970s.
What a weird scene of, like, hundreds of people, thousands?
I would say probably about 1,000
people. People at 6:30 in the morning at SeaWorld in 70s clothes.
Is this, like, a lot of corduroy?
A lot of corduroy, a lot of afro.
Sure.
A lot of
mustaches,
shorts, and baseball tees.
What did you wear?
What did I wear? I wore some brown pants.
Okay.
Polo with some corduroy right here with the
corduroy on the polo.
They can't see when you do this.
Yeah, the corduroy right across the
They don't know what you did either.
That's true.
And then I left a couple of buttons unbuttoned and that was the day for me.
Did you let out the mane?
Mm-hmm.
The mane of the chest.
6:30, got in the stands, and then the star of the show.
Flipper
showed up and did his audition. I really can't talk about too much of what actually happened.
Yeah, I've done extra work. Do they tell you, like...
They tell me I can't post on, like, social media or different things.
But you can say, like, hey, I was there.
I was there, yeah. And I can talk about...
Were people sneaking photos and stuff?
Okay, I didn't bring my camera. I actually brought a 1970s camera.
Naturally.
To, like, pretend to take photos and stuff.
Yeah.
And
to pretend to take
no, but I'm just pretending.
You know,
it sounds like a line at the strip club. Like, I'm gonna take my phone in with me.
It's
waiting for a call.
It sounds like they're just trying to dupe them, and it also sounds like you're taking your role too seriously as an extra.
No, I took my role so seriously.
I was just saying, you're telling the director, okay, you don't know, it'd look really realistic if some of the extras were taking pictures.
No, what made me really mad, though, is, like, I took it way serious, and I took the film out of the camera, because it really worked, right?
Yeah.
But they never checked for film. So I could have took, like, some photos from a 1970s camera of, like, 1970s people of Ron Burgundy. Like,
but you're an honest man. You know, don't live with those kind of regrets.
As honest as Peter is, he's also a diehard photographer.
That's true.
So, I'm amazed you didn't take
he
any
will
photos.
Die hard.
Sneaker,
it was rough. It was a rough day.
But what was it like? Were you pretty close?
Well, we started out, we were a little bit higher.
Okay.
But then after like 3 or 4 hours...
What was the setup?
Let's get back to it. So, Will Ferrell showed up at like 8:30. Mm-hmm. He rolled in a Ricky Martin t-shirt. And plaid shorts. Said hello to the crowd.
Because Ricky Martin was huge in the 70s.
Yeah. You know, and I was like, well, when he first came in, I was like, what is he wearing? And then got closer and closer and closer, and it said Ricky Martin on the side. And I was like, oh, okay. That's this is okay. How this is going to go. But then he went back, came back a couple hours, dressed as Ron Burgundy.
Okay.
And the crowd just went nuts and everything.
It was just Will Ferrell?
Just Will Ferrell that day. He shot his scene.
Just the star.
Yeah.
Well, I was just asking, I mean.
So, it was really interesting to see the whole setup of the whole thing, how the, like, behind the scenes, you know, getting all the camera work from the different angles,
mm-hmm.
The two cameras, and then, you know, Adam McKay was there
the
directing,
director.
But
yeah.
He did, like, the God Mike kind of thing, so I never actually got to see him. But
it's
he
a God Mike.
Basically, it's just he's plugged into all the audio, and the whole crowd can see him or hear him,
mm-hmm.
and Will Ferrell, he's directing it. He's in, like, another location. He's in a little tent off to the side, seeing, like, a live feed of the whole thing.
Oh, so he can see it on video.
Yeah, he was seeing the video and everything, so he was telling people, you know, you gotta get in frame, or do this, or directing it from that way. He wasn't, like, actually on set, which is really interesting. Because I thought I would see him there, but I felt like I was with him the whole day.
He wasn't on site at all?
He was,
but he never made
an appearance anywhere, which was really interesting. So that was really cool. There was a lot of, like, downtime, so we actually got to see Judd Apatow. He came out and talked for about 20 minutes, and he did, like, question and answers.
Oh, that's cool.
It was really cool to see him. I wasn't expecting him, which would be, like, a really nice, you know, just throw in, like, you hear Judd Apatow and you get to talk about Freaks and Geeks or this and that and just take random questions from the audience.
That's
he's
cool.
He's a really funny dude, you know? I mean, obviously.
How funny was Will Ferrell just... Because you told me before, it was a bit of an improvised scene they were doing.
So basically, I'm assuming that the scene that they shot is probably only going to be maybe at the max, like 5 minutes.
Yeah.
But
was
we were
like,
there for...
Was it him being like a... He's doing like a news story.
Kind of. Obviously, he's at
SeaWorld.
So, I mean, something
I'm just assuming because the rest of the gang wasn't with him.
He's running solo.
Yeah.
So, he's at SeaWorld. And, so there's probably a 5-minute scene that went down, but we actually filmed for 12 hours.
Wow.
Yeah. And actually, that was the last day of filming, which was really cool.
Oh, that's fun.
So, like, when we, at the end of the 12 hours, they were like, Will Ferrell has done his last scene, and everyone just, like, went crazy.
Yeah.
But what's cool is probably about 4 or 5 hours into it, a lot of people left. So I kind of like migrated closer. So I was there was a point where I was probably like 30 feet away from him. And he was doing this one scene, probably did it like an extra 10 times. And he like the scene, like if he just did it from start to finish, probably only took about 5 minutes.
Yeah.
But there was times where he was doing it for like 15 minutes.
That's cool.
And just rolling off lines like one after another.
Yeah.
And then just it was I felt like I was in a comedy show. Improv with Will Ferrell.
Yeah.
Because he was just, like, sometimes he was just talking to the crowd, too. And then Adam McKay, like, doing the God Mike thing, was just telling him stuff to say.
That's cool.
It was really interesting to see the whole interaction between them two. Because, like, Adam McKay would be like, hey, Will Ferrell, do... Or he wouldn't say Will Ferrell. He'd be like, hey, try this.
Will Ferrell actually makes him call him by his full name.
He'd be like, you know, try this. And then it was interesting to see how Will would, like, actually, like, try it, but, like, not do the same kind of canned thing.
Yeah.
You know, he would do something differently.
That's interesting. Do you feel like, I mean, do you have, like, an appreciation for Will Ferrell now that you didn't have before?
Well, I mean, I always have. You know?
Such a respected thespian of our time.
Yeah. Like, what was really cool is, like, I mean, he would go off set, but he would never break character, like, when everything was rolling, you know?
Yeah.
Like, he was Ron Burgundy to me. I was like, wow.
This is a very difficult character to get into.
I know, but like, I can't reveal too much, but like, when he was there, I felt like it was Ron Burgundy and not like any other character.
Sure.
I mean,
I saw
Buddy the Elf come out one time.
Did you?
I did. And like, everyone in the crowd was like, oh, it's Buddy the Elf.
Did he, like, an intentional thing?
I don't think so. It just kind of slipped out. Right. Like the whole, like, Buddy the Elf little talk.
He just pulled some syrup out of his suit and started drinking it.
So that was interesting.
That seemed like Buddy
the Elf. It was quite an enjoyable day.
I think that's cool because I think that Will Ferrell, we forget sometimes that he was, like, such a respected sketch comedian, actor, like, on SNL. Like, he did... It's funny because the common knock on Will Ferrell now is he plays the same role in everything. Talladega Nights, Anchorman, you know, Semi-Pro, that it's just Will Ferrell. But if you think back to SNL, he wasn't that. He did impersonations, he did different voices, he did different characters and stuff all the time. So I think it's cool that you got to see him do some improv, coming up with stuff on the fly.
Yeah, kind of that was the amazing part. And, you know, the fact that Anchorman is... loved in San Diego.
Sure,
that I got to be a part of it and see this behind the scenes kind of thing, see the whole Will Ferrell experience, and it didn't cost me a dime.
No, as far as like a free Friday experience goes.
Yeah, it's probably the best free thing I've ever done.
Yeah, wow.
Can we agree that he, even his early days on Saturday Night Live, he's always looked like he's over 40?
That's true, yeah. I don't think he looks any older now.
He doesn't. Yeah. But he's always looked in his mid-40s.
Yeah, he hasn't done the ageless thing. Well, that's cool, man. That sounds like a ton of fun. I think that, you know, when, like, I'm new to San Diego, I've lived here a year and a half, and the first thing that people always say about San Diego, right, is they'll start talking Anchorman, they'll do the state classy thing, the standard things that you expect from San Diego. And I feel like San Diegans almost sometimes, like, ugh, they roll their eyes at it. But now that the movie was back in town, everybody was freaking out. You know? So San Diegans definitely love the movie.
I'd love to interview an actual San Diego news anchor and see how they feel about it.
Particularly from the 70s.
If we could find one.
The one thing I feel like I did miss from that day, I wish you would have said, stay classy, San Diego.
He didn't.
And he didn't.
Oh, well.
I mean, it wasn't the scene, and you know he wasn't trying to crowd please.
Sure.
But...
I would have loved to see him with just any of the other characters and see
their interaction
together of just all the things that they're just saying. It's totally unscripted.
That would have been truly amazing because I just saw the interaction of Adam McKay and Will Ferrell.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was pretty good, but you put all those other guys with them.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, Paul Rudd and Steve Carell. I mean, they obviously have a good relationship.
Is it kind of known that they do a lot of unscripted stuff in those films? Or
I'm pretty sure how a lot of that stuff rolls is... Because we kind of filmed, like, what was the script really quickly.
Yeah.
And then he just, like, the rest of the day, like, the framework was there, but he was just doing one-liners and just, like, going off on all the stuff.
It'd be really funny if you go back and it was just the script that made it
in.
And everything else. Because the writer's just sitting there like, no, I'm sorry, I write better than this.
Well, on the first one, they actually made... a second movie with the lost movie, outtakes, and improv stuff.
So I'm pretty sure they'll have a ton of outtakes and stuff. I'm really interested to see what actually gets in the movie. But it was a great day.
I hope your chest hair is in it.
Oh, I hope
guy
so.
With chest hair number three
with
is what
camera.
You'll be credited
and your
as
70s camera.
With camera.
Taking
no
fake
film.
Photos.
No film.
That's up. Well, this is a natural segue. You watched some Anchorman stuff. I saw the hit play Cats over the weekend.
Hit play.
Hit Broadway. What's Cats been running, like 30 years now?
It's been out there.
So, I like plays.
You saw the miniature version.
Yeah. There were some minis in it. I like plays, for the most part. I don't love musicals, though. There's a distinction between... There's a musical... that'll bust out in a song here and there. And then there's pure musical, which is, there's only singing the entire time. There's no dialogue.
I think that's an opera.
No Phantom of the Opera for you.
No Phantom of the Opera.
Okay.
It's too hard. Sometimes it's hard to make out
Carmen
what they're saying.
And so maybe Chicago, though?
Yeah.
Well, you know, a lot of operas are in another language. Maybe that's where you're going.
Yeah.
Going to stray.
Yeah, that's... I think they meowed. They sang meow.
They meowed.
For 75 minutes, and then after intermission, I was like, I'm out of here. Yeah, they just did the meow. It's hard for me to track plot when it's exclusively sung, you know, like when there's no actual little quick dialogues there. But it's fine. The play itself, the people who were into that kind of thing were into it, and that's just not really my scene.
Laser Cats the musical would definitely be a hit.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. It depends on the reality, like the quality of lasers. And are we dealing with actual cats too?
I think we are definitely dealing with actual cats.
Yeah.
I just have the
I'm just image. Thinking of SNL.
I just keep thinking of Christmas Vacation. When
you hear Laser Cats and think of Christmas
Chevy
Vacation.
Chase says, "What's that smell?" And Crazy Cousin Eddie says, "Fried Pussycat." That's what I think when you have lasers and cats together.
Well, when I was watching Cats, I was thinking, this is so weird. Like, just, like, anyone who isn't familiar with theater or the play Cats, you walk in and it's just mind-boggling weird and strange to you. And it got me thinking about this idea of, like, in a million years, what artifacts are they going to find from, like, our time and place? And then find those artifacts and then make conclusions about what we were as a people, you know? Like, if in a million years they just find, like, an old videotape and a program from the play Cats and they pop it in to whatever video player they have in a million years.
Whatever it is.
And it's just going to be some, you know, some guy's just looking at it like, okay, so I guess
they worshipped cats.
They worshipped cats, like, because
and
the
their
people...
musical language.
Yeah, because the people would dress up as cats, and then millions of other people every year throughout the country would come to watch these people dress up as cats. It's the strangest thing in the
and
world.
Sing. Well, they know about the singing.
And sing, and they created like plot lines, and they give names and personalities to these cats, and it's supposed to be this study of how like cats are people too. I don't know, or that they, you know, we're supposed to like look into it and see our people ourselves as cats. It's the weirdest thing in the world.
Back to the historians. Have you ever seen Beatles 3000?
No.
It's a short little movie.
Yeah.
It's like 3 or 4 minutes long. And it's like historians from the year 3000 interpreting the Beatles.
Yeah.
It's great. You guys gotta watch it.
Oh, no, I have seen that.
Are we assuming now when we're talking about them finding the remnants of cats, that like this was, there was a catastrophic?
Get out of here.
Catastrophic event that, you know, kind of, they would have to come and unearth these things or find them again. I'm just saying, like a back warehouse, they'd find a box of cat's crap.
No, I think they would be unearthed. I don't know how history works. I don't know how these things happen. Like, but like when I went to Cancun with my wife on our honeymoon, and we went and saw the Mayan ruins in Chichen Itza, and we went and they saw this tower. And it talked about, they were just talking about how they worshiped snakes. Snakes were their gods. They had a snake god. And I thought, like, after seeing Cats, it's like, well, maybe they just had a weird snakes play. That, like, they
that
were...
That one day.
That one, like, one day a year, they did a big snakes play.
Yeah.
And they didn't actually worship snakes. Because we don't worship cats. We just have a weird, weird cats play. And a lot of cat videos on YouTube, and some really weird cat ladies.
So what did you see? What did you want to see from that?
I didn't want to see cats. There was nothing I wanted to see in Cats. And that's not a knock on the play, or the performance, or the actors, or the director,
would you
anything
like
that.
Would you like to see another animal? Like
like giraffes?
Giraffes would be a little... I don't find the household cat... Or in that version, the street cat, that compelling of a story. Lions.
Feral cat.
Lions could be interesting.
There's such thing as a street lion.
I guess I found the Lion King street interesting.
Lion. Yeah.
In cartoon form. I don't really like musicals. There's no animal.
So no animal put to music.
No, not in that form. What about... I feel like you guys are judging me. I guess this has been like an American hit for years and decades now. Cats is...
I've never seen Cats, so...
Yeah.
I haven't seen it. I mean, I've...
I don't really have any plans to see it either.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, don't judge me. You guys are sitting here judging me. But on this idea, let's explore this idea. Don't you think that there are some really weird things like in our culture right now that if... you know, is dug up from Earth a million years from now. They're just going to grab and make a bunch of weird conclusions about how we were as people. I don't know. What do you think? Any ones that you would worry about?
I mean, if you think about, like, the greeting card industry.
Like the Hallmarks?
Hallmarks is everything. I mean, they have a card for breakups. They have a card for, like, you fell out of bed. And like, I hope you're okay. Like
top bunk or bottom bunk,
right?
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah, they have a series of top bunk cards.
you know, and they're in every language. And yeah. They would find, if they found a box of these, like, discarded Hallmark cards, people would be like, this race celebrated everything. Even the bad things. They're mm-hmm. like, hey, we're breaking up, or I'm sorry this person in your family passed away. You know, happy graduation, happy marriage, happy Rosh Hashanah. You know?
I wonder who they would think wrote the cards, too.
Yeah, they're, you know, was so
like
this
Hallmark guy was their like the their Hallmark. He wrote their proverbs. He was their wisest sage.
Like, would they try to piece cards together? You yeah, know? And be like, you know, we think we have the complete collection.
Yeah, these. It's like he was our Aristotle.
It's like, you know,
oh, we found the writings of Hallmark
from bar mitzvahs to quinceañeras. You know, we've got the book.
He
know?
Was so wise.
It's like this guy.
He was so thoughtful.
Have you guys ever seen like random statues out in San Diego?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm kind of like in like a thousand.
Yeah,
years.
That's
like,
true. Yeah.
Someone's gonna be like, "Old man, Pappy Hazard. Who is this? Have you seen that?"
It's true. Because when you go into civilizations, the statues are like
the
first
thing
they make conclusions about.
And you see like Mark Twain by IHOP. I'm like, why is Mark Twain by the IHOP in Mission Valley?
See, like, man, they're so into Mark Twain.
You know, like, all these random yeah. statues that people are going to interpret, like...
Who's the comedian that talks about if aliens came and saw us walking our dogs?
Some guy named Jerry Seinfeld.
Oh, it was Seinfeld.
Yeah.
And he's like, you know, the aliens would be like, are the dogs in charge? Like, they're walking them and picking up their poop? Like,
yeah, it's the truth. They're, well, I think the statue thing is funny. Like, if you go to Seattle and Fremont... is like this neighborhood, right? And there's a giant statue of Lenin. Like Vladimir Lenin. Not like John Lenin. But the Russian dictator. Like the revolutionary Lenin. And
founded the town, right?
Who? Yeah, exactly. who was a real big influence in Seattle. But it's ironic. And, you know, Fremont is that kind of community
sure.
where they were like, yeah, why wouldn't we put a statue of Lenin right here? But in a million years, like, oh, that Lenin from
yeah.
that time? I guess he had some influence in the Pacific Northwest of the North American region.
I threw everyone off.
Statues, that's an interesting one.
I guess they do hold the test of time.
Do you have the thing that...
Cats.
Cats.
Yeah.
He's afraid someone will get a bootleg copy of a cat production.
I have thought before that, you know, because I do, when you look back on time, like, you really, you make a lot of conclusions about how they were as a people and a culture based on their forms of entertainment,
mm-hmm.
you know, what they did for sports or Shakespeare, the plays, those kind of things. And I think they're just going to look at us and see as an absolute disaster. Like,
well,
because
there's so much.
There's so
now,
much,
like,
yeah.
How does the Library of Congress decide what to put in the library or like that
yeah.
vault they have?
Yeah.
It's crazy. Like, but I mean, they're just going to be like random people digging up stuff and being like, what?
What
is...
if they find the wrong movie? What if they find Waterworld? Or
well,
Gilly?
That would be
know?
Hilarious if they found Waterworld and they were like, wow, they knew what was going to happen.
That's true. They think it's a prophecy.
Or all
yeah.
these zombie movies. Like,
yeah.
You know, all these end of the world
yeah,
movies.
They're yeah, like, they're like, man, these people, I mean, they'll look back and like, goodness gracious, those people watched a lot of pornography. Like, that's everywhere, right? And that's... Unfortunately, that's a true part of our culture, is that we're absolutely a sex, porn-obsessed culture.
It's readily available.
Yeah.
Especially, I mean, with computers. It's
yeah,
ridiculous.
Yeah.
I mean...
Yeah. You sound like my dad referring to it as computers.
Computers.
Computers these days. You can just do anything. My dad, when he wants me to do something, he asks me to get on the computer.
The.
Can you get on the computer and book me a hotel room?
Nope.
The computer.
But then, yeah, just the wrong things of entertainment, I think, would, like, totally just throw people off and make weird, weird conclusions. They find the wrong movie, like Looper.
It would be interesting, you know, if, something catastrophically happened right now,
yeah.
put us under rubble, what people would find.
Yeah.
I think
they find the statues.
The thing that's so interesting about, you know, you said you went to Cancun and everything and saw, you know, the ruins and all that. It's like, what happened that they weren't able to communicate their history before they left for whatever reason?
Hmm.
Or we don't really know what happened. That's the interesting thing about it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they certainly communicated their prophecies.
Oh, yeah.
That's interesting. So, I was speaking to Seattle a little bit. I wanted us to spend a little time on this. Each of us come from three distinctly different regions in our fine country. John is from the Midwest. Spent some time in Cleveland, but was from Milwaukee. As we covered earlier, Peter is from the
Orange County.
The Orange County, just south Orange. Of LA,
mm-hmm.
and then San Diego. What do you consider your hometown, though?
Even though I was born in Orange County, mm-hmm. I consider San Diego more
okay.
hometown.
It's kind of like me in Ohio versus
okay.
Wisconsin.
And then I'm from Seattle. But I want us, each of our distinct cities, areas that we're from, even regions, have some really distinct stereotypes to them, I feel like. And
well,
I want to spend some time
Orange
making...
Orange County gets a lot.
Yeah. Well, I want to spend some time making fun of them.
Well, you're more in the media than the rest of us.
Yeah.
I know. Why you don't embrace that, I don't know. I'm proud that Frasier was fake filmed in Seattle.
But. Fake film.
So let's start with Milwaukee and Cleveland and a little bit of the Midwest. Peter and I will spend 30 seconds here talking about every knee-jerk stereotype of Cleveland, Milwaukee, and the Midwest. One, I think of two things when I think of Milwaukee. Wayne's World. From
Milwaukee.
The trip.
The good land.
The good land.
Alice Cooper.
The Alice Cooper area. And then Milwaukee's best. Which
best.
Is not Milwaukee's best.
No. Well, you know what's interesting, I mean, is that there are a ton of beers come from Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
The Plank Road Brewery. Next time you're drinking any Miller product, check it out.
Okay.
It all comes from Wisconsin.
There you go.
We also have Sprecher is a big root beer company.
Sprecher.
They do make a couple beers, but that's a huge one. There's a couple other ones that all come from there, but Milwaukee's Best is not Milwaukee's
okay,
Best.
Okay, that makes sense.
Cheap, it's like Ice House. I don't know if they still make that, but...
Okay.
I don't have much Cleveland. All I got is Cleveland Show and Cleveland Indians.
I think of the Cleveland Show. I think of Drew Carey, Cleveland Rocks.
Yeah. Cleveland Rocks.
I think that it's the cheap New York for filming a lot, right?
They're there right now?
Avengers, yeah, like Avengers
really?
Films there.
Yeah, or,
they're there right now.
Captain America. One of them's filming.
See, San Diego is claims to be America's finest city, and it gets Anchorman, but you get Avengers. Like you get these great
Transformers. Transformers 3 was filmed in Milwaukee.
Nice.
Yeah,
I didn't see it.
I wouldn't go see it. I'm not telling people to see this movie, but they use the our art history museum.
Oh, yeah,
it's a really unique building, and they use that for
That's
Transformers.
I've only been to I've been to Chicago, but of Midwest cities, I went to Kansas City. Kansas City, to me, is a definitive Midwest city in that it's got some buildings.
It's got
some buildings that are taller than other buildings.
A grid-like system of buildings.
A grid-like some streets. It's got a main street downtown, but it's no downtown area.
No, I mean, you're going to get into arguments with people from Ohio and Kansas City saying that they are not the Midwest,
mm-hmm.
whereas it's more Iowa, Minnesota, Wisconsin, Indiana. Those are the Midwest states. Just depends on who you talk to.
Yeah. Well, what? Give me in 15 seconds. What is Cleveland and Milwaukee like? What are they as cities? What are definitive things about them that are not true of the stereotypes?
That are not well. I mean, the stereotypes are hard to get away from. Like, especially in Wisconsin, if you're outside of Milwaukee, there's no diversity.
Okay.
I mean, that's just...
Sure, that's the Midwest.
That's the Midwest. You could say it's a stereotype. Not everybody has this thick, crazy accent.
Mm-hmm.
The more northern you go or the more rural you go, where there's not a lot of people, they have accents and they might scare you. But if you're in the cities, it's not like that.
Does everyone ice fish in Milwaukee?
I never did. I never liked fishing, but a lot of people do. I mean, we have to create a list of things to do in the winter.
That's true.
You don't put on too much weight.
When you hibernate.
You kind of hibernate. I mean, we're talking negative 10 degrees.
Well, what do you guys think of when you hear Seattle, my hometown?
I think of everything I love about music.
Sure.
Coffee,
Seattle.
Cold.
What was coffee cold?
Coffee cold.
Well, it's not Midwest cold, though.
Long sleeves.
Grunge.
Yeah.
You know.
Weird haircuts.
Yeah.
Seattle's weird haircuts.
You guys are always trying to be hip in your own way.
Oh, okay. Well, Seattle's pretty hip.
That's in your own way.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
I think most of the stereotypes are true of Seattle. A lot of flannel. The grunge is past, but like You still hear all over the radio and stuff.
Bunch of yuppies. It's
there's a lot of coffee. You know, like I've said, this of San Diego, replace all your Mexican restaurants with coffee shops and replace all your Mexican people with affluent white lesbians. And that's that's the city of Seattle. Like, that's what it is. It's a very liberal city. It's a very cool city. It rains most days.
Is that a pun?
It's not. City. Yeah, it's not cold, though. It's actually, usually the temperature is always between 50 and 70. Hmm. It doesn't
suicide rate.
Well, that's any area. Like, I don't call it winter in Seattle. I call it the dark months.
The dark.
It like because you go months sometimes without seeing sun.
Darkness.
Because it's just constant cloud all the time.
Like San Diego's June gloom, yeah. Which we're gonna hit here in a day.
Seattle is a great, great music city, and I'm celebrating the rise of Macklemore right now to solidify Seattle again as the great American music city, because we crank out interesting artists a lot. Like, it's not just Macklemore's a big hit right now, but he's different than everybody else. And then we did the same with Death Cab, and then obviously the grunge scene before that. So the OC.
Well, I was only there for about 10 years.
Okay, so San Diego's more home then.
San Diego's more hometown.
But I
know Orange County because I'm up there. Live family up there. So.
I think the I think the country reflects on Southern California as a region. Though.
Yeah,
is that
I would
right?
say it's more Southern California.
Yeah.
I mean, there's Orange County is more of like a chiller version of LA.
Yeah.
And then the more like south you go,
the more chill it gets.
More chill.
More relaxed.
Yeah. So yeah. Let's just say south of LA, because mm-hmm. LA is its own animal.
Yeah. No. A lot of outdoor activities.
Well,
stuff.
What do you think of
beaches.
When you think, especially when you moved out here? Obviously, yeah. Beaches, heat,
amusement parks.
Yeah. Everybody's late to things.
Just laid back. Is what
yeah.
I, it's like, don't take this wrong for anybody from the south. I'm not talking about Southern California, but it's like it's an educated laid back.
What do you mean by that?
Whereas in the South, it's I don't know. You think South? You think more poverty and just
I'm giving you the wide eyes right now. I'm wondering if we're gonna have to edit some stuff out of this.
You just think
of,
you know.
I'm just waiting for something real inappropriate.
You think of that Southern drawl and everything when you think of like Louisiana and Kentucky mm-hmm. and just floods.
Are you saying everything? Everyone is poor and stupid.
You hear like.
But I'm saying they get rid of that stereotype.
Okay.
The surfer drawl over here.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, you definitely think of. Yeah, the surfers not getting anything done. You think of some of like the colleges and stuff like that are down here, but I honestly think of vanity. Like all Southern California, just like shallow, like the Californian skit on SNL, yeah. Just shallow, looking in the mirror all the time, super into themselves. Which, to be fair, am I correct in saying there is quite a bit of that? Yes? No?
There's a lot. Mm-hmm. But that's just, like, the surface.
Yeah. We want to conclude a little bit of time on Star Wars here. It's funny because we've set this podcast to be in, like, the 45-minute to an hour and some change. And we're coming up on that mark. But John and Peter have been rushing me through right here because they've seen that our last itinerary item is Star Wars.
And I
feel like you guys want to spend at least 30 to 90 minutes on Star Wars.
We could.
You
we
could
a
easily.
Whole new segment.
You guys watched New Hope last night.
We did.
Yeah, we did.
How was that?
It was good. I think
you were at a bit of a viewing party. Some of the characters came out from what's the group that comes
the
501st, out?
501st, Vader's
501st. 501st Legion.
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 So we had some Tusken Raiders, some Jawas, or one Jawa, which was really tall, by the way.
For a Jawa, yeah.
Yeah.
For a Jawa.
Sorry.
It's pretty tall for a Jawa.
We had discussed that Peter had spent a lot of time on this trying to find an original version without the new additions and edits, which I think we found.
I found.
But then we put in the wrong DVD and played the new version.
Oh, you did?
Because it was a two-disc set.
After all that work.
Yeah. It was great that Peter tried that, but it was the first time that I had seen the new one with the edits and add-ins since it was re-released, and I was still kind of a kid at that time. So seeing it now everybody always focuses on the things they added, like Jabba being there and stuff, which I don't like. But what I found interesting this time around was I noticed the things that they had taken out. There are specific lines that I remember that are gone. And the biggest one is when Vader's going to cut Obi-Wan down, essentially.
Yeah.
He doesn't say, if you strike me down now, Darth, I'll be more, I would say, stronger than I've ever been before. That line's totally gone, and I was like, that's kind of interesting. Because that leads up to Obi-Wan being, like, the blue energy.
Yeah, that's kind of a marquee line.
Yeah, yeah, it's gone.
It's interesting. I haven't looked at or researched
it's
that
totally,
out.
Yeah, I totally caught that, you know. And again, I said, people always notice what's new. You don't see what they have removed.
That's a really interesting line to take out.
That's what I thought, you know. And I know Dustin had said earlier, you know, he thinks A New Hope is semi-boring. It's not as engaging
as I feel
as
like I'm gonna, people are going to look me up and track me down to say that a Star Wars movie is boring. I don't... I think that it's an interesting movie. I think that it's fairly slow. And I think that's very common. Peter and I have had this discussion of movies in general. Our movies today are so jam-packed, so fast, so much action, that a movie that paces like that can seem extraordinarily boring.
Mm-hmm. I'll agree with you. It's slower paced.
But you don't mind that.
I don't mind it.
Yeah. I think
you ain't got nowhere to go.
I noticed, too, like, I didn't... everything happened so fast. I know you say the movie's slow-paced.
Mm-hmm.
But when you look at the opening scene to the end scene, like, Luke's whole family gets killed. He gets taken to another planet with this guy he doesn't know.
Yeah.
And then he becomes best friends with this other guy that just happened to be a smuggling, you know, spaceship driver.
That all happens in, like, 15 minutes, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And so it's like, I mean, you know, all this, his whole life changes, and all of a sudden, at the end of the movie, he's going to go become a Jedi.
Yeah.
And you're like, dude, you were a 16-year-old whiny little punk 20 minutes ago.
Yes. It's like the start of Avatar. They spend, like, 6 minutes on setting up the plot to why he gets in the whole Avatar situation in general. And it's like, okay, let's just get him up there. Let's just get him up there.
Yeah,
we got some action to get
to.
He needs
to go up in space.
Yeah.
What was the highlight of the night for you?
The highlight of the night?
Yeah.
I mean, the 501st.
The 501st.
Which is cool. I mean, those guys, top-notch.
The 8-foot Chewbacca.
So for the listeners, the 501st is a group of people. They
regularly just do costume appearances for Star Wars things.
Okay.
They were great. There was probably about maybe 8 or 9 of them.
Yeah, there was like 3 sand people, a Jawa, Anakin Skywalker.
Anakin.
Who took a lot of flack from yours truly.
Did you? You gave Anakin flack.
He's like,
the guy came out to an event.
There's this whole universe. This amazing
was this
universe.
How old was Anakin?
He's mid-20s.
Oh, okay. So it's an older
Anakin.
He
looked like him, too. I mean, he could pull it off.
Yeah.
Not in, like, 10 years.
It's when Anakin forgot how to act.
Yeah. He had, the cloak on.
Yeah.
But it was just funny because...
Was he a little evil? Or was he still...
No, he was a little evil.
Yeah.
It was like he was just about to go slay the younglings.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of Anakin.
Yeah.
But it was there's this whole universe out there, and you pick Anakin Skywalker. I was like, you know what? Why don't you just go be Jar Jar Binks next time? Like, just call it a
Oh, yeah, because Anakin Skywalker... Skywalker.
When you said Jar Jar Binks...
In Jar Jar.
Back in the dressing room, one of the Tusken Raiders, like, spit. He's like...
This is so funny because I see these people putting so much time and effort into these amazing costumes. The sand people, the Jawa Chewbacca, there was some stormtroopers, actually a sand trooper for those of you that know. And what was the other guy, a clone trooper?
Yeah.
And the costumes were so awesome. And then you just see the guy with the black cloak and he's like, I'm Anakin.
And like, he has his say, of course.
Yeah, you know, I was like,
I'm going to say something, you guys are going to hate me for this. I don't understand why Jar Jar Binks gets such a bad rep. And not because I think he's an interesting character, but I don't think he's that much more weird or obnoxious than a lot of the other Star Wars aliens and characters. He just got more lines.
That's the problem.
Yeah. He was so featured. But the way he talks is just as bad as most of the weird aliens in that show. And those 6 movies.
That show.
No, they tried
I'm
to
sorry,
like
those
this.
6 movies. I'm sorry, I'm not a Star Wars purist. But I think that helps me to objectively see that sometimes he's just like the pinata that everybody hates Jar Jar.
Yeah.
But I don't actually think he's that much worse than some of the other aliens.
They tried to make
the
this...
The screen time is a big factor.
And they tried to make this, like, you know, this Spanglish-speaking alien.
Well, George Lucas just tried to make, like, something that the kids would like.
Yeah.
And they did.
But you can see... Why, when they were creating him, they were thinking, oh yeah, this fits totally within the mold of every other weird alien character we've ever created.
No.
Why not?
Sad.
See, you got...
if you could compare him to someone in the original trilogy, but you can't.
Okay.
I mean, the bumbling idiot... you could say that maybe the droids, they kind of do some goofy things in the original one, but they're not like Jar Jar.
Yeah.
I mean, Jar Jar, they're in the middle of a war... and he's running around blowing people up unknowingly. Like, that was an accident. I won the goofy. War.
C-3PO did that stuff all the time.
Not in the middle of a war.
Yeah, but he would accidentally do heroic things and just stumble into some excellence.
More R2-D2, which purposely do things.
Let's go back to last night. The best part for me was when the Tusken Raiders interrupted the movie.
No, they didn't.
They interrupted the movie because it was the part where their scene when, you know, R2 is out in the desert. And they did the same exact sound effects, and they stood up and that was amazing.
People
to
were turning around taking pictures in the middle of the movie. It was awesome.
Oh, that's cool.
It kind of it startled some people because I don't think people knew that these guys were awesome. If I were first again, they came out once the movie had started. They snuck back into the back row in the pitch black and sat there fully costumed for the whole movie.
No, that's amazing.
Yeah, I think except for Chewie, which we totally understood why he couldn't do that. But.
Did Chewie leave?
No, he stayed and watched as himself, but he couldn't be in the 9-foot costume.
Sure. That's cool.
But yeah, that was an amazing part.
That's awesome. Well, that concludes episode 2 of our podcast, not episode 2 of the Star Wars. We appreciate you guys listening, and we will see you guys next week.